You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. Thank you so much for listening. Still to come on the program from Alabama Daily News, Barry Sell, also Congressman Barry Moore, Alabama 5th Congressional District candidate Casey Wardinsky, and we'll wrap it all up with State Representative Wes Allen, who's running for Secretary of State. So all that and more coming up. Please stick around. Joining us now is a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Been very kind with his time. In his, I guess, early stages of his chairmanship of the Alabama Republican Party. But John Wall joins us on the line. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing well and appreciate the invite to be on the show.
Well, I always appreciate you coming on, and I know, Mickey, you're on a bit of a vacation, I assume, but we do appreciate you taking time away from that to speak to us this morning.
Yeah, one thing I've learned about being chairman, you don't get weekends, you don't get time off. You work when you have to work. So I know I'm used to this, and I'm glad to be on the show.
Chairman, let's get right into it. First off, before we get into the policy side, obviously campaign politics, campaigns are starting to announce and starting to get organized. I assume you're keeping an eye on that. You feel pretty good about the slate of candidates that are running for some of the offices open in 2022 so far?
You know, I do. And for me, the party's role here is a lot of it is almost like a referee. You know, we want to create that fair playing field. We want to have create a good platform for all our candidates. And as far as I'm concerned, the more the merrier. You know, I love to see the voters have as many choices and have the best options they can for each position.
Yeah, even though we're some time away from that, it does seem to be getting busy. I think we anticipated a somewhat busy election cycle, but maybe some of these offices won't be quite as contested as others. But certainly, you know, you keep an eye on that and make sure everything that you're getting the right people. The thing that we've learned, I guess, in the past, and I don't think it's maybe as much of a problem as it once was, that sometimes you have some Democrats that the party switched out of expediency, political expediency, and now and you have to be on guard against maybe people that aren't necessarily, you know, the Republicans a name only, if you would.
Right. No, and you know that's always a concern for the party because the public do trust us to kind of shepherd that process and make sure the candidates who qualify are Republicans. So that's something I take very seriously. And we trust a lot, you know, with our members and our county parties in the areas where the different people who are running are from. Because they know them better than anyone. We kind of trust that, you know, all politics is local and we trust our local representatives.
Yeah, and I've seen this happen over the years. You know, they'll go, you go to one of these county party meetings, and, you know, say it's the a judge or a school board member, they'll come and they'll present to the Republican Party why they want to leave the Democratic Party, and they make the case, and then it you know, the people that are on that executive committee in each of the counties get to say, okay, sure, right? I mean, they kind of keep the check on that.
Right, and sometimes they let them, sometimes they don't. You know, it's one of those things, like you said, they kind of interview them, see if they think it's a genuine switch. And that's really died down. To be honest with you, most of the people that were going to switch, I think, have already switched parties. And what we have now, if you were a Democrat through Obama and now through Biden, it's going to have to be a pretty good reason if you're switching parties now.
Yeah, I think because everything is kind of a reflection of what's going on nationally, and if you stuck with them this long, then you're with them for a while. But I guess maybe the Democratic Party, even though it could go further and further left to straight up socialism, and then maybe you would see some more defections. But other than that, that sounds spot on to me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting. A lot of people don't realize the Democrat Party have a thing, you know, in past election cycles where candidates, if you run even on the local level, you have to do a pledge of loyalty to the national candidates and kind of their platform. And that is, you know, if you're going to sign a pledge to support that, I think that's where they lost a lot of their people, you know, years ago.
Well, tell me that. When we talk about Republican Party politics, now, I'm fairly familiar with the bylaws and the way it works, but if you're in the Republican Party, if you're a member, if you're an elected official, when that Republican ballot is set, when the nominees are set, you can't support another candidate, or how does that, what is the official position on that?
Right. A Republican elected official is not supposed to ever donate or support or endorse a Democrat or another party's candidate. We obviously frown on that very heavily. if you're going to be a Republican, you need to be a Republican. And that's been, you know, a clear cut rule for really both parties for years.
Yeah, and it doesn't appear that's going to change anytime soon. But anyway, let's move on from that. I want to get you on the Republican Party here. A lot of Republican elected officials have adopted a very outspoken approach on critical race theory, and the media in this state are just beside themselves over it, and they just don't understand it. But do you feel good about not just that, but the way Republican elected officials are really wanting to put a check on the education bureaucracy and what their children are being taught in these public schools, that seems to be a big rallying cry for a lot of Republicans right now in Alabama.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's not even just Alabama. I think this is a national issue. And this idea of who decides what your children are taught. And I think their parents should have that first call on making that decision. And, you know, critical race theory is really just growing out of a kind of the Common Core model and the national curriculum coming down from the federal government. And I think we need to get education as much as possible back to the local level, back to the parents' control, back to the local teachers. But really what we're dealing with critical race theory is this idea that a social agenda, social engineering, if you will, knows best what to teach your children. This is a socialist agenda, in my opinion. And when you look at, we should not be surprised by this, because when you look back through history, socialists have always targeted education. It's in their playbook. You know, Marx wrote about it. And we shouldn't be surprised that socialists are using education to further their agenda. So I think it is absolutely one of the biggest fights that we are in as a culture today is protecting our children, because they're the future, and that we need to be fully protecting them and guarding their education.
I mean, it's almost, you know, that the Democrats are using the public schools to promote a political agenda, but you know, it's not even the agendas per se, but it's just to cultivate voters for the future, and that seems like something that, you know, whether you like them being exposed, your children being exposed to that or not, but that's not really the purpose of public schooling in this country.
It would be nice to have, you know, your schools be educating your children, not indoctrinating them. And there is a fundamental difference, and I think we are very much seeing that line blurred in our education system today.
Yeah, but that seems to be something that they have really, really, they use it for, they look at it as an investment in future politics, that they have such a strong presence in public schools. And I don't know if it's just the culture of the public schools. I mean, obviously, any government entity tends to be a left of center, you know, political, the real concentration of that philosophy, it really dominates the culture in a lot of these places. But that we empower our elected officials, our legislative branch, to really control the purse strings, and they, you know, here in Alabama we have the Education Trust Fund, and we hear how much money they're spending in public schools, that with that trust you put in them to control the public purse strings, you don't want those resources being used to teach something that's really antithetical to our cultural norms. And that seems to be this whole critical race theory discussion.
Absolutely. And we shouldn't be confused here. This is social engineering. We have a climate where we have a group, and it is definitely involved, the Democrat Party is definitely involved, And I believe it goes past that to this idea of socialism, where we have a group of people who want the public to move a certain direction. And the fastest way to accomplish that shift in culture is to target the children. And I think we are absolutely seeing that in our state and in our nation. And I think it is fundamentally, like I said, one of the greatest battles we're facing right now as a country.
Well, and there's these other aspects to it that, you know, that I think Republican orthodoxy wants to put more of the power of the education system in the hands of the parents, right? That ideally the parents would take stock in their children's future. And but that's where you have these ideas like school choice and the curriculum, you know, push back against some of these curriculum is that kind of the right approach that Republicans need to be talking about when it comes to education to get it back in the hands of the parents?
I think so. You know, I think education is always best as close as you can get it to the parents. I'm a big fan of parental rights. I think that's very important. And I think the closer you can get it to the parents and to the local teachers, the better. Curriculum, education, being able to talk, you know, teach each student individually, because every child is different. You know, they have different styles of learning, different times when they comprehend different subjects. And I think the more flexible we can be for our children, the better. This cookie-cutter approach it does not work in education. And I think that's why we're seeing numbers slip with our education standards, with our testing. And I think we've got to address that.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall here on the program. Chairman, here in Alabama, it looks to me like the AEA is making getting back into the swing of things here. I remember 10, 15 years ago, they were, at all the Republican meetings I would go to, they were an evil, you know, they were, Paul Hubbard, you know, and he was the shadow governor, I for yes and no's for no. Are you concerned about the resurgence of this entity, the teachers' union, getting back into the policy game?
Well, I mean, of course we are. And, you know, it's funny you bring that up, because actually in the past, I remember at one point there was actually a resolution passed by the state party, I believe, that was, you know, saying Republican candidates should not take money from the AEA because of their influence and the concern they would have over direct policy. So, you know, of course that's a concern. You know, that type of influence from anybody pushing to regulate themselves is never exactly in policy. You don't want a group regulating themselves. That's not good for policy.
Is that in a ban, or is that just a suggestion that Republican candidates don't take money from the AEA? There seems to be some confusion there, and I'm not real clear on it, but do you have an understanding of what those guidelines are when it comes to Republican candidates taking money from the AEA?
Right, and I need to go back and look at the resolution in depth, but I believe it was a resolution, so it's not a direct ban. There's no teeth to it, but it was, you know, a very strong recommendation to the candidates, you know, that it's not a good idea to take that money.
Yeah, because I mean, I if I'm not mistaken, I think there are some Republican candidates they're at least being wooed by the AEA these days, and I guess that's something that we. You really want to make sure is on a lot of people's radars still that is an influence that maybe it's changed. I don't know, but in the past it was not good.
Oh, very negative. And, you know, like you said, there were jokes about how the AEA controlled the state and, you know, had a vast amount of control over policy and what would happen with the governor's office, the state legislator. So much of that has gotten better since Republicans have taken control. And, but you're right. We're seeing a resurgence of their, at least their involvement. Hopefully, not their influence.
Well, I think where we really saw the influence this last session was that Literacy Act and the push to delay it by 2 years. And if not for Governor Ivey's veto, it would have been pushed back. If you couldn't read at a third grade level, then you know, you would anticipate that that child would stay in the third grade till he could learn and read at a third grade level. Not be passed on to fourth grade. What is it they say? You learn to read in the third grade, but you read to learn in the fourth grade. And but there were Democrats and the teachers union that wanted to put a hold on that for, you know, because of COVID. I'm still not clear on how that happened, but it makes it through a Republican supermajority. And like I said, if not for the governor, we might be looking at that right now.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's an excellent point. And I think they're also one of the organizations that's really stopping school choice. And I would like to see school choice expanded past charter schools to private schools, and even to homeschoolers, you know, getting a type of tax credit or something that would encourage people, to be able to have an open access to several different markets of education, because competition is good. And, you know, the free market works. So we want to put some pressure on every area of government to be as organized and as efficient as possible. I think that's something our schools don't have. And a little competition might do them good.
Chairman, we're up against a break here. Real quick, before I let you go, folks want to find out more about the Alabama Republican Party. Where could they look?
Hey, check us out online at algop.org is our website. And on Facebook, Alabama Republican Party. And we'd love to have them contact us and become part of the team.
Chairman, I appreciate your time. Let's talk again real soon.
We'll look forward to it.
Thank you. Chairman, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.